Welcome everyone to Tubacast episode 11. I'm your host Christopher and I'm super excited about tonight's discussion. We're going to talk about District 9, the Clone Wars cartoon, and the main topic, post-apocalyptic survival tactics and truths. So without any further delay, let me introduce my co-hosts Matthew and Alton.
Hey, well, we had listeners in England, Canada, France, Germany, Netherlands, China, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Japan.
Yes.
So we are global.
That's great.
Yeah.
So while you are explaining our global audience, I took the intro you just read, and using my super amazing inhuman skills and the internet, I went from English to French to German to I guess Dutch to Chinese to Vietnamese to Malaysian to Japanese and then back to English.
Wow, so you're awesome.
Your opening, which you guys can go back and listen to at the very beginning, which starts up as "Welcome everyone," now reads, "Set 11, Tubacast, welcome. I am an administrator. I am delighted that Christopher is the debate tonight. We are 9 districts and a Clone Wars cartoon. The important topics of strategic and truth iniquity. So I will not be co-sponsored by Matthew and Alex."
What the heck is that?
So yeah, so I just did a quick, you know, translation and there you go. There it is.
So, all right.
So that opening is not fit for our global audience.
Awesome. Okay, so I guess we'll start. Does anybody have any weekly news?
Don't really have anything. We didn't really do much. It's raining here. It's pretty wet.
Yeah, so at work they said it was going to be 8 to 12 inches of rain, and then that was Thursday, and it rained for like a second. And that was it. And I was on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, it's supposed to get 8 inches of rain, and then nothing. And I was like, ha, it didn't get nothing. And then it started pouring. I was like, oh, I guess I'm wrong. And then it stopped, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm right. And then today we've got like, I don't know, 8 inches of rain. Our whole yard is almost underwater.
Wow.
Oh, not the whole yard, but most of the backyard is underwater.
And you guys have crazy weather. Where I'm at, we don't have it. It's just always blast the same.
Yeah. Yeah, ours has been kind of crazy with snow and, well, like the past 2 years, there's been a drought. The lake dropped like 50 feet and then it snowed.
I got a bit of news and then I got a review if you want to do that.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so the first one is not really funny. It's just kind of an observation I made. You cut this out or leave it in. So, you know, there's an earthquake in Haiti right now, or I guess it was, and now, you know, the repercussions and the cleanup and all that. And I was just kind of reading through the news. And one thing that struck me was, okay, so, you know, the U.S. sent an aircraft carrier over there, a bunch of relief, or sending 10,000 troops, supply, help all these people. And one thing that struck me as an American, it kind of made me proud, was these guys got hit pretty hard. They're suffering, you know, a lot of misery, a lot of people in need. And say what you will about America, because, you know, America does a lot of things globally that are controversial, you know?
Sure.
But we really don't have any interest in Haiti. There's no, you know, I mean, you can't say we're doing it for oil. We're not doing it because they have a strategic base there. But America is really stepped up. Whenever stuff like this happens, America is one of the forefront people who bring relief. And part of it's part of a UN effort, but part of it, it's not. And I mean, I know that like the UK, China, European Union, Canada, Russia, and Latin American nations also sent, rescuers and relief supplies and things from BBC. And I don't know how much of that is they're part of like, you know, Red Cross agencies in Latin America, or it's the actual Latin American nation government, you know, putting out the effort. As you know, it's the American government saying, look, you know, we're going to help you guys. And it just kind of, again, it made me proud because, you know, we do a lot of things that are controversial that you could say that's not really what a superpower should do. But here we are helping a country that we've got no strategic or mineral interest in, and we're helping.
It's been on like Facebook and Twitter and on the web, you know, just like normal people, you know, not the government, like donating and texting to give donations and stuff. And I think a lot of the world, you know, when America does bad stuff, they forget about all the good that America does.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think a lot of people all over the world are donating. And you know, that speaks really great about humanity. But, you know, my example was, here you have the government saying, we're sending help. It's not American Red Cross. It's not American the children or whatever. It's the actual government saying, we're going to help.
Oh, right, right.
And it's like, you know, so we're, you know, we get condemned internationally for a bunch of stuff. And not saying we shouldn't, but, you know, but we do. And so it's like, okay, well, now where's the praise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, the American people above the government are doing more. Like, state of Texas has a response team called Texas Response Team Number 1 or something like that. The state of Texas is sending their own response team to Haiti to help find people. And the HEBs in all the large cities in Texas are getting money, and they're giving it to the Red Cross, if the Red Cross can get the money, you know, directly. There's a lot going on.
They went to the desk talking, you should start playing that. Go add some in the background.
Well, I'm thinking about playing that, what's it, the Greenwood song, I'm Proud to Be an American?
That'd be good.
You play it in the background?
Cool.
Yeah, and have some, like, eagles making the...
Yeah, totally. Can you do my review now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, for Christmas, I got the Season 1 Star Wars Clone Wars animated series. And I watched it. And so I have a quick review.
Okay, hey, first, have you seen it on TV or just on the DVDs?
I caught bits and pieces on Cartoon Network. Never really a whole episode.
Okay.
It turns out, though, that the bits and pieces I saw was the vast majority of the actual season.
Oh.
Okay, so we'll do good, bad, and then I got a tease. All right, so... First, just to let everybody know, I'm a Star Wars fan. I don't dress up and go to conventions, but, you know...
Well, then you're not a fan.
Well, I know a lot more about us than I should, and if anyone ever went to a Trivia Pursuit challenge, I accept it.
Hey, so all the listeners out there, there's a challenge.
Yeah, send an email. Send an email, trivia question, and I'll see if I can answer it online answer it on air without looking up the answer.
There it is, folks. Okay, so.
Extended universe stuff outside of the video game.
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay. So here's my review. So I thought it was really good. It was very varied. There's an immense variety of planets, species, you know, buildings. Every planet that had a different type of architecture. It wasn't cookie cutter, and there was an incredible amount of detail and effort put into the show from the animators. And a specific example was in one of the last episodes, the Battle for Ryloth. When they're on the ground, there's these two, droid tanks, and they're going down a cliff, and then they cut to the Jedi's and they're talking, and it's like, okay, well, we gotta stop them, and they're talking about some plan, whatever. And way in the corner, you can see, like, part of the tanks moving in the background. It's completely irrelevant to the scene, it serves no purpose, but the animators had such a love for what they were doing that they put that in there. I mean, there's so much little detail that doesn't need to be in there.
Right.
But it. And it's just put it in there because they liked it. So, overall, I recommend it. Let's get to the good stuff, the bad, because that's the fun stuff. I guess that the peeve of mine is, what exactly are the travel times in the Star Wars universe? Because my definition, oh, I'm a totally nerd out here. My definition always came from the role-playing game 2nd edition. Where,
wake me up when you're done.
where it would take long periods of time to move between systems. I mean, you know, even to move at the speed of light or whatever, it takes a long time to move between, a planet. And I always thought in Star Wars, when they went from Tatooine to Alderaan, it took a long time.
Right.
You know, so Luke had a couple of days or a week of training with Obi-Wan, with the Force. And the role-playing game supports that. When you watch the new trilogy and this animated series, it seems like it takes hours.
Right.
You know, you need to get to the outer rim from Coruscant, the heart of the galaxy. Oh, 3 hours.
Right.
And it really makes the universe seem like it's
small
within the neighborhood.
Right.
It takes a lot of the grandeur and the immensity out of the galaxy when you can go from the center to the very edge in 3 hours.
Sure.
And it also takes away a lot of the kind of that independent roguishness of the Jedi and the smugglers, because it's like, oh, the Jedi's in trouble. Well, hell, what's it matter? 2 hours from now, you can have the whole fleet there from anywhere else. So, I mean, whatever.
Right.
So, and I don't know. That's just my take on it. That's my piece. Now let's get to the bad. Well, I got 3 of them. And okay. So, okay, first, and you and I, Chris, have talked about this before. All the Jedi are generals.
Oh, right. That's true. Yeah.
So Luke Skywalker, he's what, I don't know, 19 or something. He shows up, general. Ahsoka, his Padawan, I think it's 14. I don't know. She acts like she's 12. She shows up, general. You know. Mace Windu's leading the army or whatever. And he's really knows his stuff. He's whatever, and he's gone somewhere. So the only Jedi left around is Ahsoka, general. You're in charge. You're in charge of the army.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's my pet peeve is that the Jedis aren't generals. They don't know anything about military tactics. You should have a real general, not a Jedi. They're trained in something totally different. They can't all be generals. I mean, maybe there's one or two that studied military tactics or whatever, but not all of them. That's not what they're supposed to do. They're peacekeepers. They, you know what I mean? They shouldn't be leading the Clone Wars. They should be like there assisting the real general.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and the episode in particular, if you guys want to check it out, viewers, it's Storm Over Rylon. Anakin's leading a fleet to take out the droid fleet over Rylon. And he's kind of separated, to do his little thing, and so Ahsoka's in charge, and she has to lead two capital ships against the enemy fleet. Literally, she's on the bridge commanding admiral.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so all of that, it was like, okay, this is silly. And at least to my second point, which is both sides have incredibly poor tactics. The clone army being led by 14-year-olds, and even when they're not being led by 14-year-olds, they're idiots. You know, and at first I was like, okay, well, the show's meant for kids, so it's like, no, because people are getting murdered, they're getting shot in the face, not for kids. Their tactics are horrible. The only reason the clones are not flat out slaughtered and the war is over within a week is that as pathetic as they are, the droid army is completely incompetent. So far as to say they're useless.
Right.
I won't even go into details. You watch one episode and you'll know what I'm talking about. My third point is, okay, so the Jedi are supposed to be like knights, you know, hence the name Jedi Knights, and, you know, they have a great system of honor and, you know, they keep the peace and all that. And I guess this started in the new trilogy, but pretty much every time you see a Jedi fight a Sith, it's two Jedi versus one Sith.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the first movie, you have Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul. I mean, Darth Maul shows up and they don't even like pretty much talk or anything. They just both Jedi go straight after the one Sith. 2-1. That's not fair. There's no honor in that.
Right.
And then at the end of episode 2 is the same thing. In episode 3, when Obi-Wan and Anakin are on the bridge, I think they both start attacking Count Dooku.
Right.
Now tell me if two Sith were attacking one Jedi, everyone would be up in arms, like, oh, that's not right, that's not fair. But it's okay for two Jedi to go after one Sith.
Yeah, that's a good point. They do that quite often in the prequels.
Yeah, and in the animated series you see it all the time. Anakin and Obi-Wan go after,
I guess they're just trying to show you how awesome the bad guys are. That there's no way one of them could do it on their own. But you're right, I mean, that is sort of against the honor code of...
I don't know what kind of honor code they have, but that seems pretty weak. And that's my review. So maybe overall, I enjoyed it.
Have you started watching the second season?
Is it out?
Yeah, well, it's on TV now.
Oh, no.
Yes, I started watching the first one, the first season a little bit, and... I like it a lot more now. The things I didn't like at the beginning was the humans looked real stiff, like when they ran and stuff. And the way they moved was kind of stiff to me. There's something about Anakin's face that bothers me. I don't know. Some of the other ones look pretty decent compared to like their screen components, but I think with his face, I don't know, he doesn't remind me of Hayden Christensen.
It's not a bad one.
Well, I like Hayden. What was the other one? And the other thing is, okay, in the movie The Clone Wars, at the very end, the Jedi's got wasted. I mean, they got shot to, you know, they all died, almost. But in the series, you know, they're fighting all kind of people, and hardly any of them were dying. You know what I mean? But at the end of the Clone Wars movie, they're in a big circle fighting a bunch of droids, and like they all got shot and died. But in the cartoon, you know, they go through all these crazy antics and none of them are dying. And it's sort of like, well, you know, clone troopers are dying left and right. So that's, you know, more realistic. But you think more Jedis would be dying if they died that easy in the movie.
Yeah, they don't really, even faceless Jedi, they don't show, get off. But they do actually, there's one episode, I don't want to give anything away, but they do, a Jedi does die.
Is that the one with Grievous?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one. In his lair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was actually really well done. And but, you know, what's sad is, you really want that guy to get it. The way they did his character was like, well, he deserves it. He makes him a good Jedi. And it's like, come on.
Yeah. Was that the little Mon Calamari?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On a leg swallow, it's okay.
Well, the Clone Wars, the cartoon part, is that supposed to be at the end of episode 3? Or is it while episode 3 is going on?
It's before episode 3.
So it's between 2 and 3.
Right, Matthew? Or is it between 1 and 2?
Between 2 and 3. 2 ends with the start of the Clone Wars, and 3 begins with the end of the Clone Wars.
Okay. So you'd recommend it?
Absolutely. If you like Star Wars, yeah. The movie that came out, the copy needed it, was not nearly as good as the series itself.
Yeah, that movie should have just been a part of the series and not in the theater.
Yeah, and if I would say that the 3 episodes of the series of the movie, because the movie's had 3 episodes, it's some of the weaker ones in the entire first season.
Uh-huh.
So don't let the movie discourage you.
Yeah, in the series, the explosions and the sound effects and stuff, I mean, it's awesome. They go all out on the lasers and stuff blowing up and all the, like, the effects and stuff. Man, it looks good. I'm not too sold on some of the people, you know, the whole puppet, wooden puppet thing. You know, it's okay. But the backgrounds and all the lighting and stuff, man, they're doing an awesome job. Have any of you seen the movie Paranormal Activity?
Yeah, man, is that movie that cost like $20,000 to make or something?
Yeah, and it made like $100 million or something. It's yeah. It's good. It's a good scary movie. But if you guys haven't, you haven't seen it.
What's it about?
I've not.
It's about a couple that they think there's a ghost or something in their house, so they set up a camera each night and they record while they're sleeping, and then the next day they kind of watch it to see if anything's happening, and then it just kind of shows what happens at night, and it gets worse and worse. I like it, but what's neat is I've already heard everything about the movie. I've heard how it ends. I've heard, you know, and then even when I was watching it, I was still tense, waiting, because I knew what was going to happen, but I didn't know, like, the middle part, and I didn't know when it was going to happen, you know what I mean? And, oh, man, it's good. I like it. Which is interesting, because last night, both the kids are sick right now, so we've been kind of up in the middle of the night getting medicine or whatever, and last night, Sarah went up, I think, to get a bottle or whatever, and in Ariana's room, she's got a little radio, and she comes in, she's like, come here, listen to this noise. And she's standing in Ariana's room, and that's where we had the water pipe spray before. And I was like, oh, come on, not again. And I go in there, and you hear this, and I was like, oh, no. But it was a little radio that was on the floor, and it had turned on. You know, we didn't hear it any other time, you know, walking through there. But at that point, it was on. So Sarah turned it off, and then about 4 or 5, maybe 6 in the morning, Sarah came back in. She's like, the radio was on again. I was like, what? She's like, I know I turned it off, and it was on again. I turned it back off.
Did she ever mess with you?
Did she mess with me?
Yeah, is that like, would she actually just be like, pulling away?
No, that'd be awesome if she was, but no, she was serious. Yeah, so anyway, I don't know, but. Okay, well, that's my review of Paranormal. Did anybody see Terminator Salvation?
No.
Like a year old? Okay.
But I did see District 9.
All right, well, let's do that one. I'll save Terminator. You haven't seen Terminator, Matthew?
No.
Oh. Did you see Inglourious Basterds?
No, I didn't see Avatar.
Huh.
No, I didn't see Inglourious either.
Wow.
Well, Avatar.
Yeah, let's do, y'all can do Avatar and I'll chime in on.
Hey, why don't you take Avatar?
Who?
It was good.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It's the first 3D I've seen since Captain EO. I don't think I've seen one since. they've been, you know, a lot of them out. I don't remember going to a show since that movie.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Actually 3D. Because a lot of the movies that come out 3D are also 2D. Even Avatar's 2D. You can see it 2D or 3D. 3D customer.
So what did you think of the 3D?
I liked it. I like the theme of it, how, you know, the people go to this planet and then they're put into this other body. They never talked about how they created the Avatar body. At least I don't recall that. I mean, I guess they did. Not as far as they did. At the very beginning of the movie, they talked about how they created the body. They grow them in some kind of vat, or whatever. And then people control them. And it's a neat idea. They don't talk a whole lot really about Earth. Earth apparently is like not destroyed, but people can't live there or something like that. So that's why they're going to these other planets. I have no idea where this planet is. And maybe I need to watch the movie again. I don't know where is this planet and how long did it take to get there? Because there's several moons on this planet.
I think it took 10 years to get there.
Wow.
Oh, that's right. People were in quiet. That's right. They're in cryogenics while they were getting there. What I really liked about the movie was just the graphic effects itself. Various parts of the movie, all the different colors of the plants and the different animals. I mean, to me, that's just awesome the way they did that. The story's a good story. I don't think it's an unusual story. It's a story that, you know, typical story. There's a few people complaining saying that the movie shows American military bad in it, and that how it glorifies killing American soldiers. I thought about that.
What?
And, you know, the movie's not about American soldiers. The movie's about some company, which is a theme in a lot of movies. A company goes over to this planet to mine it for some mineral, and they have their own security force. And basically their security force are ex-military people. They're mercenaries. But they dress up like regular military people. Because the military people or the security people in that movie report to the civilians. But you kind of miss that because they're all dressed up in military garb. But, you know, the director said it's an environmental movie. And it is a neat movie. I like it. Wearing the 3D glasses is no big deal. Because I haven't done that in a long time. So I liked it. You, Matthew?
Yes, I liked it too. I went in not wanting to like it. My recommendation is if you are going to see it and you have the opportunity to see it on IMAX in 3D. You got a couple of things that are moved down. It's very good. The 3D effects are very non-invasive. Most 3D is kind of gimmicky, like someone throws a spear, and it comes down the screen at you, you know, or, you know, Captain EO, the asteroid comes out and blows it down, you know. Well, Avatar really didn't do any of that. All their effects were kind of just, here's the movie, and, you know, it's 3D. It's not like, new 3D. So, I really appreciated that. My favorite part of the movie was how we all know the plot line. We all know it's going to happen. I won't try to give any spoilers away, but, you know, so the guy goes and he tries to integrate himself into the tribe. And right away, you know that there's going to be male warriors in the tribe who are like, you're an outcast. And they beat him up and they give him a hard time. You know, we've seen it in all these movies.
Sure.
And there's a couple other scenes that you know are going to happen.
Did they have a montage?
Like, what?
Did they have a montage?
I don't know. But there's things you know are going to happen, and it happened in the movie. In case in particular, you know, he joins in the male warriors, don't like him, and you know, they laugh at him and they give him the evil eye. But it's glossed over. It's like, look, it's like James Cameron said, look, you know this is going to happen, you know the story of it, it's fine, I'm not going to beat you over the head with it, you know, you acknowledge it, let's move on to the good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of the parts like that you know were going to happen, yeah, they did dwell on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of a little bit of spoiler warning, but it really shouldn't be. Like the part where the female Na'vi woman that, you know, he's hanging out with finds out that, you know, he's really there to, I don't know, with the humans for political purposes. you know that she's going to be really mad at him and feel betrayed. And it happens in the movie, but it's not all super dramatic and there's a 30-minute, you know, makeup romance scene and all that junk. It's like, look, okay, fine, she's upset, let's go on to some explosions.
Yeah, and that's good because that would just take away from the movie of doing the same thing over and over again.
And then it would be 4 hours long.
One thing about the 3D that was kind of neat is, as we were watching the show, I saw something in the audience, and you know how, if you remember this or seen it in the old projector days, where the projector would play, and if there was dust or smoke in the audience, you could see that, you know, going through the lights, not on the screen, but, you know, kind of in the light.
Oh, okay, sure.
Well, I saw that, and I thought, oh, there's a lot of dust in this theater. And then I realized that it was part of the 3D. It was like a snow or something was happening. And it literally looked like the whole theater was full of snow or dust because of the 3D effect.
Oh, wow.
And it was gradual. It didn't just boom happen. It just kind of slowly happened. It's kind of neat.
Oh, that is neat.
And another thing is, and I guess maybe it's just me, is they focus on the Avatar race. Well, the Avatar and then whatever the other people are. You see them so much, you don't realize the physical difference between the humans and them until they're together. Because they're not together that much. You know, there's a lot of Avatar by themselves with those people. But they're not physically the same size. You don't really get that so much until, you know, like the beginning of the end, because they're not together that much. Even when they're fighting, they're in separate scenes. You don't see the Avatars and humans together a lot. Because there's a big difference between them. Anyway, they didn't play it up a lot.
That is a good point, because yeah, when you first see them, you're like, oh my god, they're huge. And then you forget about it. And the way they did the movie, the blue people, I guess the Navi, became your standard kind of template for who was in the movie, you know, what the movie was about. They were your norm. So much so that you identified with them. And at least I was like, okay, well, I hope they win.
Yeah.
You know, because you did identify with them so much.
It's a good movie. And I saw on television today, I was just walking through and saw Oprah was talking to the director of this movie. And she asked him about a sequel. And he kind of said, well, there might be.
Hmm.
But it took him a long time to make it.
I thought it was already confirmed that he's making two more.
Really?
Oh, it could be, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be his Star Wars.
Or at least the second one, for sure. Now, did you see it, Christopher?
I have not seen it, but I've heard all about it.
What was your favorite 3D scene?
My favorite scene wasn't so much 3D as the color. At the beginning, when the Avatar and the Navi was in the woods at the beginning, and he had the flame, and he put the flame out. She put it out, and then all the plants and everything in the jungle started luminescing. Everything started glowing. That was my favorite part. But I don't know if that's 3D so much as it is just the animation. I don't know if I have a favorite 3D part. To me, one of the neat parts is not so much 3D is when the Navi would shoot an arrow, you'd see them shoot an arrow, okay? And then they would show it hitting a human being. Well, when they show the arrow hitting a human being, it looked like a spear because there is this big physical difference between them, but they never really showed them together at the same time that much.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. What's your favorite 3D?
Mine, and this could be the first time because it's the first time you really see a 3D, but mine was when they come out of cryo. And right in the beginning, you know, they're in that white, cylindrical part of the ship. And maybe to me, because it's just so immense of a scene, you know, the interior of the ship was so huge and it went on for, I don't know, a mile. And you really got a feeling for the depth and the 3D, and it just hit you all at once.
Yeah, and you're right. That is kind of awesome 3D right there. That's all I got on it.
Okay,
cool.
District
9, have you seen that, Ned?
No.
We'll not spoil it, but I like I really liked the movie. And considering that they did it with the low budget, the special effects were awesome. And I think it's a pretty creative story. The take on the aliens and stuff has never been done before, to my knowledge. So I definitely have to give it props for being creative, especially when so many Hollywood movies in the past years have just been so cliched and so boring. That this one was really neat, really fun. The acting was fine. They spent a lot of time on details, like the alien has their like graffiti and stuff on their little shanty town and stuff. And, to me, this movie really is kind of, it's like the Lord of the Rings. Like, this movie was made by people that really care. Like, they spent the time to make it right and to, you know, pay attention to the details. They didn't just slap it together. Not that, you know, I know even when they make crappy movies, the people spend a lot of time, you know, doing what the directors tell them. But this one, everything, like, it looks like everything was just done very well, you know. And the ending was great. I hope they don't make a sequel. I wouldn't mind one, but I think it works just fine the way it is. What do you think, Matthew?
Well, I wanted to stop the movie about a quarter of the way in.
What?
I'm glad I did not. If anyone gets the same arc I did, I recommend you push through. But it's a thinly veiled comparison to Afterlife. And you know, it's just so depressing to see what humanity is truly capable of. I mean, it's pretty bleak. And everything that happens in the shantytown to the aliens, whether they do it themselves or like the local drug dealers and whatever do it to them, you know, that happens in places, you know, amongst our fellow man.
Right.
And it really got to me. And I was like, you know, I don't want to watch it. This is too much. And I know it exists in the real world, but I don't want to be entertained by watching it. But anyway, I pushed through a couple points. It was an awesome movie. I agree with what you said. Low budget, but you can't even tell. Labor of love. One of the things I thought was really interesting and really like bitingly true was it's amazing how we as humans can hide even the most barbaric of activities by sanitizing it through bureaucracy. So, you know, the beginning part there, trying to evict all the aliens to move to the District 10.
Yeah.
A different camp. And, you know, you guys, hey, we're just doing our job, sign here. Just sign here. And, you know, the aliens are like, well, we don't want to move. We can't even read what's going on. And the guy's like, yeah, it's good enough. That's a signature. You're out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so compartmentalized and so bureaucratic that it dehumanizes, you know, the victim. And I thought that was really well done because we know that happens.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens even in, you know, not just poor countries, but even, you know, affluent countries when the government wants to build a new airport and you're in the way, you're out. You know, you've lived, or they need your land to expand a highway, and that's been your farm for 200 years. Too bad, you're gone.
Yeah, eminent domain.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same thing as in the movie, right. But when the government
we should be talking about that. That's actually really interesting. But that is what you pick up on. I really like how the aliens are so different than what you see usually, and not just in design. But like behavior, mannerisms, their own language, even the weapons could only be used by the male.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
And I thought that was really cool. There's a lot of plot stuff that kind of revolves around. The initial plot, it's kind of confusing as to what's going on, but I think if you listen to the commentary or the Wikipedia, they really explain the plot, and a lot of it makes sense. But it's really a neat plot as to, you know, how they got there, what's going on. I have one interesting question. It is kind of a bit of a spoiler. I'll probably be vague, not to give anything away. But you've seen it, Christopher, so you know what I'm talking about. Anyone else who's seen it will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
There is a missile launch that occurs at one point in the movie, and it has obvious results. Shortly thereafter, there should be a second missile launch. But there isn't. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the first time that missile launches, that air defense missile launches, and it kind of has catastrophic results.
Okay.
Okay. And it's like, okay, well, there's a point that there should be a second missile launch, and there isn't. And I'm wondering, well, why doesn't it launch the second launch?
Oh, I see. Like, right at the end. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought about that.
If it did, that would kind of blow it.
Right. And they had plenty of time because it was moving slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
jamming technology going on. They didn't explain, you know. So that's just one thing that picked up on my say. Well, because I had some activated, you know, the missile jamming, you know, technology, whatever. I buy that, whatever. It wasn't even a video.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I thought about that too, because I was like, well, there's plenty of time for that to, you know, they could have really taken care of that.
and just like Avatar, you know, I'd be excited to be able
to. Oh, definitely. I would actually be worried if I met someone who didn't side with the aliens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they just landed, and the people were like, you're staying here, and screw you, and, you know, now it's time for you to move. So tough, you know what I mean? Okay, so anything else on District 9?
That'd be a prequel. Having started with the alien, you almost want there to be a prequel. Payback or something.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should be one. Like, it should be just kind of stage of what really happened.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, any other, well, since we're doing movies or anything, there, any other movies?
I thought Red Sonja.
Red Sonja. I haven't seen that in a long time. That's a pretty fun movie.
It is a fun movie, and I enjoyed it. It's like a classic 80s barbarian action movie. You shouldn't expect a lot. There's a lot of neat sets, a lot of creativity in the world they created, but it's pretty cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of cheesy, I got a DVD set called Drive-In Classic Movies, and it's 50 movies, and it was like 11 bucks or something. And, they range from like old 40s movies to 70s. And, one of them is called Mr. Twister, and it's about a monster truck that talks. And then there's three crooks who are trying to steal something, and I guess they're trying to get the monster truck to help them. Well, I haven't seen that one yet. And then there's one called Rattlers, and there's some town where the government experimented on these rattlesnakes and made them real violent, so they're going around biting everybody and killing them. So these two scientists have to go in and stop these rattlers. But it's all kind of like weird stuff like that.
Kind of sound like that sci-fi spider movie they had on.
But anyway.
Well, we ran a bit long, and we turned this podcast into two episodes. So TupaCast episode 12 will have the post-apocalyptic information. So thank you for listening. You can email me at christophertupa@hotmail.com. And check out the website at ctupa.com. Thank you.